I'm Patrick Adams.
And I'm Caroline Legier.
And this is Librarians of Littles, a podcast where we review books, include makerspace connections, and we give tips and tricks for working with our youngest readers. Today, we are going to share two books that work really well with this month of April. April is School Library Month. The American Association of School Librarians celebrates April as School Librarians and School Library Month to encourage the community to understand the essential role that strong school libraries play in transforming learning. And so this week we're going to have two books that are library focused, the first of which is a book called Ronin the Librarian. This was published in 2020 by Roaring Book Press. The authors, because there's two of them, Tara Lube and Becky Caddy. And the illustrator is Victoria Moderna. This book, Ronin the Librarian, was on the Junior Library Guild selection for 2020 list. It was on the list for the Grand Canyon Reader Award 2022 in Arizona, the Treasure State Award 2022 for grades K through 3 in Montana, and the South Carolina Picture Book Award for 2022-2023 for grades K through 2.
Becky Caddy has always had a flair for the dramatic and loves all things entertainment, especially character-driven narratives. Becky was a casting producer for reality TV shows like NBC's America's Got Talent and ABC's Extreme Makeover and E's The Simple Life in Los Angeles. She has a drama degree from the University of Georgia. Go Dogs! And she is currently a creative recruiter residing in Chicago, Illinois. She can be found going to the theater, eating too much sushi, and spoiling her nephews. She is a member of the SCBWI Illinois, which stands for the Society of Children's Books, Book Writers and Illustrators.
And Tara is her sister. Tara is self-described as a picture book nerd. In her previous life, she owned a kid's toys and bookstore in Atlanta, which was a catalyst for writing her own books. Her background is in retail buying and wholesale distribution. She's a graduate of the University of Dayton, so go Flyers. Tara loves Star Wars and submersive picture books. She has three children and a husband, and they live in Fort Mill, South Carolina. And she is also an active member of the SCBWI for the Carolinas.
All right. Some of the author's other books are I Am Famous, which is illustrated by Joanne Lou Vrythoff. I'm sorry if I pronounced it strangely.
I think that's close.
I Used to Be Famous, also illustrated by Joanne Lou Vrythoff. Operation Photobomb, illustrated by Matthew Rivera, and Sharknado, illustrated by Daniel Duncan.
The illustrator for this book, Victoria Moderna, is an illustrator from Rosario, Argentina, but she works mainly in children's books and comics. She currently lives in rural France with her husband, Frederico. She creates illustrations using, and I check to see how this was pronounced, it's gouache. Yes.
That's how you say it?
Gouache.
Okay.
Yes. It's a type of paint made from pigments bound in water-soluble gum, like watercolor, but with the addition of a white pigment in order to make it opaque. See? I was doing some research for this because I was interested. And she also occasionally includes coloring digitally, but she's always willing to try new things. She is fond of funny and whimsical stories, painting animals, particularly if she gets to make them wear fancy clothes and hats. She enjoys painting trees and nature and things of a fantasy and fairy tale style, where she can let her imagination run wild. She is formally trained in graphic design, so also is pretty into typography and lettering as well, and she loves it when projects let her flex those muscles. And so the book summary. Ronan was a barbarian known for invading, raiding, and trading. After this, when he's also known for finding the best treasures, Ronan ends up pillaging a chest of books and scrolls with great disappointment. Being so disappointed, he tries to trade with other barbarians, but barbarians don't read. He tries to search for other uses. He can use it as kindling or for origami or even as toilet paper. But as he is trying to figure out what to do, he gets sucked in by one of the pictures in the book and begins to read first a sentence, then a paragraph, and so on and so on. He becomes so obsessed with the stories that he's extremely distracted from his raiding tasks and his friends. He begins to start raiding specifically for books. When he finishes those books, he needs more, so he keeps raiding for more and more of this new treasure. He collects so many books that he decides he needs somewhere to house them. He builds a library. He sets up a grand opening for the library, but all of the other barbarians have reasons why they don't read. His last-ditch attempt is to read a story in the town square to get attention, but it seems to be a miserable failure until he goes back to the library and finds the doors busted in and barbarians inside reading. I really enjoyed this story a lot. It's silly. It's fun. When I've read this to my students in the past, they've really enjoyed it. I'm going to read it this coming week with my kids, so I'll find out how this group enjoys it. But I've really enjoyed it because the characters are just kind of comical and fun. I feel like it's relatable to a lot of students who are just like, I don't like to read, I don't want to do it, until they find that one book that finally really speaks to them, and then they become voracious readers. But yeah, it has so much good humor. Like, there's a goat throughout the entire book that's just like eating paper the entire time. There's a running joke of using the books as toilet paper. The illustrations are bright and colorful. The characters are exactly how you would imagine these big hulking barbarians to be. And it's just so engaging for the students. I really enjoyed it. I think this is a 5 out of 5 bookmarks book. I think it's really great.
Yeah, this was the first time I've had the pleasure of reading this book, and it was really funny. It was really cute. It was kind of a different spin on it. I really liked that it was like kind of taking the big burly barbarians and making them readers. I think it really helps kids relate to it and helps maybe our more reluctant readers who don't really think of themselves as readers view themselves as such, because then they can kind of see, oh, these, you know, big guys are over here that, you know, they never read, and then they learn to love it. Maybe I can too. Yeah, it was really cute, really funny, different spin on it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And
good pick. Well done. Well,
thank you. And I really do like the pictures and all of it, because it's got like that, those warm colors and just, you know, they're very engaging pictures. And I like that, like, there's one picture that has the bulletin board of all of the rules for the library. And it has, like, definitely check out books. Make sure that, like, swords are terrible bookmarks and, like, different things like that. And there's even, like, do not let this goat in the library. But, like, it's just the little running jokes throughout the whole thing just make it amusing, and when you stop and read all that stuff, the kids are like, they crack up and laugh and love it. So it's a really good book.
It was really cute.
As far as a makerspace activity to connect, so this one's more of a craft than an activity, but I think it would be fun to do using sentence strips and cardstock and some tape or staples, coloring pencils, crayons, markers, that kind of stuff. Using the sentence strips, make a headband for the students, and then using the cardstock, you can either print or freehand out. I'd probably draw one and then make a bunch of copies on cardstock, but get some horns, and so cut out some pre-cut horns. You can, once you've got the sentence strip to the right size for the kids' heads, you can add those horns to the sentence strips to make a barbarian helmet for the students, and then give them the time to decorate their helmet, add some color to it, that kind of thing, because all the barbarians throughout the book are wearing these giant horned helmets, and so the kids can become barbarians themselves with those horned helmets. I think that would just be a fun little craft to do. You could also have them, if you wanted, if some of your kids need that time to be more tactile and building, you could have them build their own fortresses using building materials like blocks or Legos or something like that. That could be, they could have barbarians try and raid their fortress that they build out of the Legos.
I love that idea. Yeah. And I really like having the kids make their own helmets like that. Kids love to dress up and play pretend and do all the acting out kinds of things. So I think that would be a really engaging way to kind of bring the story to life. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And, you know, the thing that would be the hardest would making sure that all the horns are cut out. But most of us, when the pre-K classes come, a teacher or a para will come in with them. So you could just hand them a stack and be like, hey, cut these out while I'm reading kind of thing. And it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
So
that would help a lot. And that would be like a really simple design. And so that it would be.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too hard to put a couple together and just cut them. And just go kind of thing.
It wouldn't be too time consuming per se for like a single class. The whole school would be rough. So yeah, that would be a great way to kind of get that done quickly for everybody so that doesn't overburden you.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's a really good story and a really great way to introduce kind of Library Month, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. So this week, for a Library of Littles management tip, we're going to talk a little bit about book fairs. So a big thing about book fairs is that book fairs have been in the spotlight a lot for a couple of reasons. One of the main things is that, especially when you're looking at the pre-K students, a lot of these students come to our schools, they qualify to come to our schools because money is something that their families struggle with for whatever reason that might be. And so having a book fair can a lot of times be something that's kind of questionable to bring up as far as equity goes. And so I'm going to explain how I work my book fairs and explain how the library is set up so that we have some ideas of how to balance it out, because I think that everyone should have the opportunity to be able to buy some books, and a book fair is a great way to do that, especially in areas where we have book deserts. We're in the state of Texas, there are a lot of places where there are book deserts. We're fortunate enough to live in an area where books are relatively accessible, but that's not always the case. So book fairs can be a way to help with that. The way I set my library up, I'm fortunate that in my library right now, I have a lot of floor space. And so I'm able, and all of my shelves are on wheels, which makes it a whole lot more easy to move stuff around. And if you have shelves that are permanently in place in your building or aren't on wheels and it would take forever to move them and stuff, that makes it a lot more challenging. But if you've got the shelves on wheels, that makes it a whole lot easier to move stuff around. So what I generally do is I will move all of my picture books a little bit closer to my fiction section. We get rid of the makerspace tables that we have that week. Those are put away, and actually usually the tables themselves are used for displays for the book fair. And so I'll move all of my shelves so that all of my shelves stay accessible the entire time we have our book fair going. I know that's not something that everyone can do, but that's something that I try to do because I want to make sure that my students can still check out a library book, even if they can't purchase a book from our book fair. And so I'll set up my book fair in one portion of the library. I also have like big tables at the back of my library. That's where like the staff comes when they have faculty meetings and stuff like that. I leave those there so that when I'm seeing my other classes, my first through fifth grade classes, they go to those back tables and we do different activities in the library that week. But as far as pre-K goes, we set up the book fair. We have our picture book shelves moved. We have, depending on if it's in the fall, we have our picture book cart, or our pre-K cart of books. If they haven't started checking out off the shelves yet, that's still available. But the students can come into the library. I have a very long talk with the students about what a book fair is and how it works. And we have a discussion about the fact that a book fair is basically a store in our library. And if you go to the store, you can't just take something and walk out. And all the students generally have that concept down. And so we explain that to leave with something from the book fair, you have to have money to pay for it. And you have to have the right amount of money to pay for it and that kind of thing. And so we have a conversation about the fact that when they come in the first time, because I try to have them come in twice that week, some people have their schedule that way, so it works a little better. Usually I only see my classes once a week, so we try to set it up so they come in early in the week and then come back for a lesson later in the week. But during that time, the first time they come in, we have this conversation, we talk about it, and then I explain to them that they're going to get to look at the book fair. They're going to get to pick like one or two books for us to put on a list so that they can take home and show their adults. And we have a whole conversation about the fact that their adults get to decide whether they spend the money on books or not, and that we're not going to get upset. We have a whole conversation about the fact that sometimes adults have to say no, and that's an acceptable answer, and we have to be able to listen to it and understand that. So we have this whole conversation where we explain, if the adults say no, not this time, it's not a time for you to throw a fit and cry and whine and complain until you get your way, because sometimes adults have to make important choices. Sometimes they don't have the money available to make these other purchases, but we can say, well, maybe next time. And so I have all the kids repeat back to me, well, maybe next time, so that they know. If mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or whoever their adult is says no, you can say, well, maybe next time, because we have a book fair in the fall and we have a book fair in the spring. And then most of those students that are in our pre-K programs will be on my campus the next year. It's when they're in kindergarten and first grade. And so we have book fairs every year. So even if they don't get anything this year, there's always that chance in the future that they could get something then. And so we have that conversation. And then the teachers and the paras help me. We set up some videos so that the kids can be dancing on the carpet while we take smaller groups of kids to look around. And we write down a couple books on a wish list and write down the price, and then we can send it home. The second time they come into the book fair that week is when I do an actual book lesson, which may or may not be from a book from our book fair. Just depends on what's there. But then at the end of that, while we're getting our wiggles out and dancing and doing book checkout from the actual library, if anyone brought money, the teacher will pull those kids aside and pull the books, and then we run the register at the very end so they get their new books. But everybody gets to leave with at least a library book on that day when we're doing the book fair purchases. Everybody's leaving with a library book from our book cart or from the shelves, depending on what time of year it is. So that way, I think that helps a lot. But it makes sure that everybody still ends up with something that they can be reading. If they got something that they can take home and read, great. If they bought something, then they can keep that, and that's great. But it gives the kids that opportunity without requiring it, without saying, well, you didn't bring anything, so you get to leave with nothing. We're still going to check out books that week. The kids still get that. It's hectic. It's crazy. There's a lot going on at once, but it seems to work for me. With the bigger kids, it's even more crazy. If you can get volunteers to help you, that's always the best. But I understand that a lot of parents are busy working and stuff like that, so volunteers can be hard and challenging to get at sometimes. But if you can get volunteers, it does make it a little bit easier to run all of it at once. But it's doable if you're on your own.
All right. That's some really good information. Yeah, next year I'll be working in some elementary campuses instead of my pre-K campuses that I have now. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm probably going to have to ask you for a little bit of help again.
Absolutely.
In the fall.
I'll be happy to help. So
yeah. All right. Well, our next book that we have today is called No Cats in the Library. It is published by Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers. It was published on March 5th, 2024. The author and illustrator of this book is Lauren Emmons. this book is on two lists. One of them is the Mockingbird Books list from 2024. I had never heard of this one before. This is a Texas book list that is specifically created by Abilene ISD. And when I was looking through there, there's some really good books on that list. I'd never heard of it, but it was kind of interesting going through. I found some other good books that I'm gonna put on my next order list. The other list that this book is on is the Virginia Reader's Choice for Primary Grades K through 3 for 2025. Lauren Emmons grew up exploring nature in Minnesota. Since then, they've lived all over the U.S., from California to Wisconsin, and spent some time living in England as well. In 2020, they won the World Illustration Award in the site-specific category, and in 2021, they earned a master's degree in children's book illustration from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge, England. They currently live in North Dakota with their spouse, their two cats, and their dog.
Some other books from this author include their debut picture book as an illustrator. It's Prack Fills the House by Donna L. Washington. And then this is their debut book, No Cats in the Library, as both the author and the illustrator.
So in this book, a stray cat named Clarice loves books but doesn't understand how to read all the dark squiggly lines that's everywhere in them. One day she discovers a new place filled with stories. It's her local library. At first, the keeper of the books removes her from the library. Then she figures out that there's a hole in the library and she can sneak in through the book drop. And she finds a young reader who shares a story with her, and slowly all those dark squiggly lines begin to turn into words, and she learns how to read both the pictures and the words in the book. The keeper of the books does come and find Clarice in the library, but upon seeing how much joy she brings to her young patrons, she creates a cat read-aloud story time where all the young patrons can come and read a book to the library cat. I really liked this story. I thought it was a very calming one. I really enjoyed all the colors of it. It's very realistic illustrations, but not too overwhelming. So the text is really very legible and it kind of stands out. There's really muted colors, kind of makes for a very calming, kind of cozy vibe through the whole thing. And I thought it was pretty relatable for our younger readers. It had certain things, like it never refers to the librarian as a librarian. It's always the keeper of the books. And I liked how it referred to all the dark squiggly lines in the books rather than, you know, saying there's words that she can't read. It does when you start to learn to read, like you don't understand what those squiggly lines are yet. That's what it looks like, is squiggly lines. So I thought that was kind of a good way for maybe our kids who haven't learned to read yet to kind of understand they may not be the only ones feeling like, you know, they don't know what all those marks on the page mean yet, and that's okay. It'll, you know, make sense to them in time. You can just really, when you're reading it, you can really tell that the author truly enjoys libraries, and you can just feel the library love when you're reading this book. So I enjoyed it a lot. I think this would actually be a really good one to pair with Ronan the Librarian, because, you know, Ronan the Librarian was kind of a funny, it was still like a very enjoyable read aloud, but in a different kind of a way, where that one was kind of more silly and funny than this one's kind of, you know, calming and cozy. So I think these ones actually, we didn't do it intentionally, but I think they pair exceptionally well together because of that different juxtaposition there.
I agree. This book was super cute. I really enjoyed it a lot. And like you said, yeah, you can tell that the author illustrator really enjoys libraries. Just the way she depicts them as just these warm and welcoming places for people to share ideas and books. And so it was just a really beautiful book and just a really cute story. And I agree. I think, like, they counterbalance each other very well. Like, this is very heartwarming and cute and loving story. And then, like, the Ronan the Librarian is kind of the goofy, like, joking around kind of. But they both, like, show the importance and the love of those books. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would also give this one a 5 out of 5. It was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it's It's kind of simple enough to, the illustrations are well done enough and engaging enough, and it's short enough to, I think, hold a kid's attention for the duration of the read aloud. And as a bonus for the makerspace activity for this one, at first I was like thinking of like ways to get animals involved with like the makerspace. And then when I was doing the research for the book though, I found some real there Lauren Emmons has some great educator resources that pair really nicely with this book. There's a couple of just plain coloring pages, which are fine. So you can color in, you know, Clarice the cat and color the keeper of the books holding her. But then it also has a couple of templates for bookmarks that you can, where you can, and the bookmarks are pictures of the library shelves with Clarice like sitting on top and like looking at the books. But the spines are all empty. So her suggestion was to color in the bookmark however the child wants to, but then you could track the books that you've read by writing them in on the spine labels. And I thought that was a really kind of fun way. I was like, that is much better than anything that I would have come up with. And it's, you know, it's directly from the author. So it's author approved. So yeah, if you want to check that out, it's on her website, which is laurenemmons.com under the Educator Resources tab. So yeah, I thought that was a really fun way to like see extra artwork and kind of tie in more things directly from the book. And I really liked the tracking your different your reading with it too.
Love that idea. And then I was thinking about this because I saw that idea and I was like, that's really cool. And based on some of our experiences this week at the library conference, I was like, if you could also find a way to incorporate getting some cats that need to be adopted and do like some cat therapy with the kids where the kids can just like pet some
Yeah.
cats and stuff, that would be even cooler. That's a lot more work and a lot more challenging to do, but that would be super cool too.
I think I
I'm sure
like
there's a little
that.
bit more logistics involved to that, especially with pre-K kids, but
Yeah.
still would be super fun. Like
It would be super fun. I think that might be fun for like an open house kind of a
yeah,
thing, or
like where
like
it's like
a
an after-school event kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like their grown-ups would need to
With
be present for that
yeah.
one. I think it would be
I
fun to
agree.
do, but I think it might need to be like a separate room with like
Yeah.
clearly labeled, like,
Cat room.
beware, you might end up taking an animal home.
Yeah.
I would. That would be my
That would be, yeah.
I would be in danger of taking an animal home for sure.
I just love that, like, that the authors, so many more authors now are creating some of these kind of resources, and that's just really cool that they are doing that to make it so that even more and more educators can use their books and connect them to other things. And yeah, like you said, those bookmarks where the kids can keep track of all the books that they're reading. I love that idea.
Yeah, and that was her suggestion on her site.
So
That
cool.
wasn't mine, so but I just love that plan. And there was
Yeah.
also a YouTube video on her website of her reading they. She
Yes.
prefers the pronoun they. I'm sorry. But they have a YouTube video of them reading the book aloud and kind of pointing out different features of the book and kind of
That's
so you
cool.
kind of notice how it is the keeper of the books and little things like that. So that's a really fun thing to incorporate into your lesson as well, if you'd like to do
Very
that.
cool. Super cool.
Thank you all for joining us today on this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope you found some fresh ideas for inspiring young readers. Please be sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media. Happy reading!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Check back each Wednesday for a new episode. Librarians of Littles is a podcast produced and hosted by Patrick Adams and Caroline Legier. Editor, Patrick Adams. Our theme song is performed by J.D. Adams. You can follow us on Instagram at Librarians of Littles. You can follow us on Blue Sky at littleslibrarian.bsky.social. And you can send us your emails at librarianoflittlespod@gmail.com.